Hello, homemakers. Welcome to the Art of Home podcast, where we are exploring how homemakers cultivate a place to belong. I'm your host, Allison Weeks. I am a wife. I'm a mom to four grown kids. I've been practicing the art of home for 28, almost 29 years now. If you are a regular listener, we just want to thank you so much for faithfully tuning in to hear these amazing homemaker stories. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. We are so glad that you found us. We know your time is limited, and we are grateful you chose to spend some of it with us today. In return, we hope that over the next 55 minutes or so, you will be encouraged and inspired in your practice of the art of home. What does the word original bring to your mind? Merriam-Webster defines original as independent and creative in thought or action. Also, originality is defined as freshness of aspect, design, or style, and the power of independent thought or constructive imagination. So in short, originality speaks to uniqueness, both in personality and expression. What a dull place the world would be if no one practiced originality and we were all just carbon copies of one another. Well, thank goodness that is not the case. In today's episode with Alma Wakefield, we talk a lot about the importance of practicing the art of home with originality. That is, how do we do this thing called homemaking by applying our unique abilities, gifts, and personalities? Instead of falling into the trap of comparison, how do we do what we can with what we have been given, making the most of our circumstances and our resources? We'll talk about this and so much more today as Alma shares her story of home. All right, Alma, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are today? Then we'll go back to the beginning of your homemaker story after
sure.
that.
First of all, I want to say that I'm a child of God. I'm a believer of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And my roles in life now today are I'm a wife. I'm a mother of four. Mm-hmm. I'm a grandmother of 17.
17.
And
wow.
I think I also play a role as a homemaker and piano instructor. I lead Bible study small groups. I am a landlady.
Oh, huh. Okay.
And I think of myself as a lifelong learner, Allison, because I love to learn in certain areas of life that I'm interested in. And I just want to continue to do that, even at my age.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who I am today.
Okay. All right. So when did you first become a homemaker?
I became a homemaker when I was 20. Norm and I got married at 20, mm-hmm. and we were still in college. So my first home was married student apartment on campus.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very small little apartment for those that were married. And I was thrown head first, as you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, mm-hmm. into this. I knew nothing mm-hmm. about how to keep a home or to be a homemaker in any way.
Okay. Okay. So how long ago was this? How long have you guys been married?
We'll be married almost 50 years.
50 years.
This year.
Mm-hmm. 50.
Yes.
Half a century.
Yes. That's right.
That's wonderful.
I can't believe it.
That's wonderful.
That's right.
So we have a lot of ground to cover, don't we? Okay, so you were thrown head first. You didn't really have any skills when you came into homemaking. So how did you learn?
Homemaking hit me by surprise, really.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of other interests, and that was not one of them.
Were there any resources, books or magazines or anything like that, that you particularly liked to use to learn from?
There was a book written the year I was married in 1971
uh-huh.
called The Hidden Art of Homemaking.
Yes. That comes up a lot on this show.
By Edith Schaefer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during those same years where I was with a lot of women that were supportive and mm-hmm. helping me learn a lot of different things. That's the main resource I remember. But yeah. I know there's other ones.
Yeah.
Like organization, time management, mm-hmm. parenting books. I mean, many books I've read through the years. But that one stands out.
Yeah.
Because that was my first introduction, and I love the way she put that book together.
Mm-hmm. It's a great book. So highly recommend. If you've been listening to this show at all, you've heard this title before.
Mm.
So yeah. And it's actually was the inspiration for the name of the podcast.
Well, I've gone back and read it again the last month.
Have you?
I have.
Any new insights?
After 50 years.
Any new insights?
Yes, it's inspired me.
Okay.
Yes. I'd forgotten a lot of the things that were said. And
yeah.
I thought, oh, wow, I'm enjoying reading this book again.
Anything that stands out in particular?
I think just realizing her point of view is so good on just the originality of, mm-hmm. that each of us have.
Mm-hmm.
And our personality and being creative.
Yeah.
And it really encourages me to be who I am and how God's made me rather than comparing myself to someone else.
Oh, that is such a good point. And actually that's a topic that I want to address more in the next coming episodes, is talking a little bit more about comparison. You know, was that something you ever felt you fell into the trap of looking at how other women were doing their job as homemakers? Were you ever tempted to compare?
All through the years I have been, because I don't have, like I said, that real strong creative bent that some women have, not a flair like that.
Yeah.
And so I would think, oh, I wish I could do that, or I wish I could do this or that. But I think it's learning to be faithful with what God's giving you and really being who you are and accepting that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel so much more secure in that, and just saying, this is how he's made me and I can do these things.
Yeah.
And I can make my home as beautiful or as simple or as orderly or whatever God wants me to do and use it for him.
Yeah. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good word. Thank you. So how long do you feel like it took you to get to where you were more comfortable in your role as a homemaker?
That's an interesting question. I think it's taken me a lifetime, but actually in my 20s, we moved to a city and joined a church. And at this church, there was this wonderful ministry of women that really had a heart for young women.
Mm-hmm.
I thought of them as older women. They were probably in their 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some older than that too. But I was in my 20s, and they just took such an interest in the young women. They had classes on nutrition, on parenting, and then practical skills of every kind. It was there that I tried my hand at needlepoint and cross-stitch and canning and gardening and things I had never done. And it was just so much fun to me because I hadn't been interested before.
That's amazing. I remember you telling me about that when we visited before.
Mm-hmm.
Was that something that they did on a weekly basis, or it was?
Yes. So I spent a lot of time. We were there for about 6 years, and I can remember going to, of course, Bible studies too, and just learning about the things I needed to learn about in that area. But they also were very practical.
Yeah.
And just would take time to even come in your home. There was one group of women that was like a team that would come in and help you decorate your home. So I put my name on the list for sure. And they came in and it was wonderful. They spent 2 or 3 days helping me learn how to decorate. There was another woman that came in and helped me learn how to cook because I needed help.
Yeah.
And she came and spent a week with me and taught me lots of things. And I look back on those years as just very special because it was one-on-one, face-to-face, mentoring and helping younger women learn these skills, and I didn't have them.
Yeah, and that's a big part of what we're trying to accomplish with this podcast in a digital form, to just give ideas and insight, and people can sort of come alongside you and whoever else, whatever episode they listen to, and they can hear the stories. But above that, what we really want to encourage ladies to do is, if you're the younger woman, to find somebody like that. Not, you know, I don't know of any church that does a program like what you're describing. I've never even heard of that before until you told me. And I think we should, like, every church should do that. That is amazing.
Yes.
But if you don't have access to that, a formal program, to find someone who can mentor you, who can come in and show you, you know, how to do basic cooking things if you don't have that knowledge.
Yes.
Or whatever it is where you're lacking. And then to encourage these older ladies who are listening to the program, you know, be bold, don't be pushy, but be willing, be available, I guess.
Because
I hear a lot from our interviewees, you know, the older women will say, well, I don't think the younger women really care. Like, they don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But then the younger women say, no, we want to know, please. We need help. Like yes. You said, you needed help. So that's wonderful.
I agree. It was a true blessing to me mm-hmm. to have those years when I was young. Mm-hmm. Not that all those skills am I really all excited about or anything,
sure.
but I had the opportunity to find out what I did like, mm-hmm. what fit my personality, what fit my lifestyle.
Right.
And they did. They helped me with so many things. Just a very loving, caring atmosphere where I didn't feel intimidated mm-hmm. or put down in any way. Mm-hmm. Just a very learning atmosphere.
I'm sure that you made connections too with those women and relationships were forged.
Yes, they were.
Over learning how to can or whatever it
yes,
was.
Yes, they were.
You know,
yes,
so it wasn't just about the skill. It was about the relationship.
Exactly. Here I am, 69. Mm-hmm. And one of those women who is in her early 80s is still a mentor to me.
Mm.
It's long distance, but mm-hmm. we still have that relationship and it's very special.
That's wonderful. And that's, I mean, I love YouTube, right? Don't get me wrong. But I think that's part of where this falls apart is now we have the internet and if I need to know how to do a particular skill, I can watch a bazillion videos about it on YouTube and I can learn what I need to learn, mm-hmm. but I'm missing something mm-hmm. in that. I'm missing that connection, that human connection and that relational connection.
Right.
And I think that's your experience is a good testimony to say how valuable that is.
It was very valuable. Things changed for me as I started to have a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was so excited about learning all these things. But as I began to have my children mm-hmm. and, you know, you have babies and interruptions and changes, I sometimes felt a little overwhelmed because I wanted to keep learning these things and
yeah.
being with this. And yet at the same time, my life was changing. It was a new season.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of those things had to drop off. For sure, just to begin to take care of my babies,
right?
Raise my children,
right? Yeah, there's a time for everything. Did you ever work outside of the home?
I did for a while. I worked as my degrees in education, elementary education,
okay.
and so I taught school in the public school and a Christian school mm-hmm. before I had my first baby,
mm-hmm.
and then for a while, just a brief while, I worked in a bookstore, because we needed some extra money. And through the years, I've taught piano off and on mm-hmm. because that has been also part of my education is I went to college on a piano scholarship.
Mm.
And so I minored in piano and I thought, well, that's something I can do off and on through the years. And
yeah.
I've done that. And I've also helped Norm in the office with his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of everything, but nothing long lasting.
Right, right. Okay. Did you regularly set goals for yourself as a homemaker? Some people are goal setters and some people aren't, but we do find that when we at least set some kind of goal, then it helps to sort of organize our thoughts and organize our days. I know in the early years when you've got babies and diapers and you're just trying to keep everybody alive, but
that's right.
You know, we do get to the point where we could start to set some more long-term goals. Was that ever something that you did as a homemaker?
Yes, I think I begin to realize after you have children,
mm-hmm.
not so much when it was just the two of us, because for 4 years we didn't have children.
Okay.
And, you know, we both were gone all day and housework was minimal.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just still having fun mm-hmm. as a young couple. But when the children started coming, I realized I needed to make goals and I needed to have priorities and I needed to have a schedule, although it had to be very flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggled with that in the beginning because I thought, oh, you know, if I can have a schedule, then everything's just going to go smoothly. But that is not how life works when you have children. But it's good to have something in mind,
mm-hmm.
even when the interruptions come. And so, yes, I did do that pretty early on when the children started coming.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All
right. That was a priority to us.
Were you a list maker?
Yes.
A daily list maker?
Absolutely. To a fault.
Are you one of those people that have lists all over the house?
I'm the kind that makes a list even after I didn't make a list to check
just
it off
because
it feels
it
so
off.
Good to check
yes.
it off. Yeah.
I do that in the grocery store when I remember, oh, I needed to get, you know, tortilla chips and it wasn't on my list. I will write it on
yes.
my list so that I can mark it off.
Feels so good.
Right. How well did the day-to-day reality of homemaking match any expectations you might have brought into it?
You know, the day-to-day reality changed so much when I started homeschooling.
Okay.
Because I was wearing several hats, mm-hmm. you know, trying to keep up the home, teaching full time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Four children, one with special needs. Mm-hmm. And it was at this time we moved to California and my husband was pastor. Mm-hmm. And so I was also wanting to be a part of that.
Right.
And that was a big role as well. So yeah, my expectations of how the home was going to be run and how I was going to teach my kids and how I was going to minister at the church, those things changed. And it was hard. It was hard to learn how to be flexible. It was hard to learn how to get all mm-hmm. of that done and mm-hmm. do it well. Mm-hmm. But I think learning to not worry, mm-hmm. not be anxious, to do what I can do.
Yeah.
Because it began to affect my health, actually. I had some pretty serious health issues during those years.
Really?
And I think it was partly because I just didn't know how I was going to get all these things done. And being somewhat of a perfectionist that I didn't realize that I was either, mm-hmm. It caused issues health-wise.
Yeah.
And so I had a learning curve there of learning to, in my case, trust God, mm-hmm. to not be anxious and worried about it, but realize I can get done what I can get done.
You only have 24 hours
in
the day.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It took me a while to learn that, mm-hmm. but I did eventually.
Eventually. That's great. So were you ever lonely as a homemaker? It sounds like maybe you weren't because you had so much going on.
I don't think it was for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can remember a few times when I felt lonely, and that was mostly when my husband started traveling.
Okay.
And the children were gone, and I would say the last few years I've had more of that than ever before because I just can't remember being lonely. There were too many people, too many mm-hmm. things going on, mm-hmm. and I was excited about life.
Yeah.
And all that there was to do. But the last couple of years, at times I felt it mm-hmm. because it's a different season.
Right. Well, your grandchildren are growing up.
That's right.
At this point.
Yes. Our grandchildren are young adults and teenagers, mm-hmm. and we have a few younger ones. But, and then it used to be that our grandchildren all lived here. Mm-hmm. And so I was busy.
Yes.
With hospitality, not only to friends and people that came from out of state, but to the family, mm-hmm. to grandchildren. I spent a lot of time working with them in their schoolwork mm-hmm. because that is my background, and I felt like it was something I could do to support
yeah.
their moms. And so I spent a lot of time doing that, and so I was very busy. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, everything changes,
yeah.
and so you have to adjust. You have to adjust to the change. You learn to accept it, and sometimes it takes a while, mm-hmm. but it happens.
It does. That's part of life.
Mm-hmm. One of the things we did do with our kids when they were growing up was hospitality. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to learn that, and so we were in a church where we would invite families in with mm-hmm. children. They would take care of the children. They'd help me with the meals. Mm-hmm. They would help me clean the house and get it ready, not leave it all on me. And so they were learning things along the way that I never learned very much of growing up.
Yeah.
Because we were always busy and out and doing things.
And you've already talked a little bit about showing hospitality to other people. I love that you got your kids involved in the prep work for that, because that not only gave them the skills to do it later on in their own homes, but it helped everybody to realize, hey, this isn't all just mom's job to
yes,
get ready for this
right.
company. So, and you said now you guys are still making that a priority. How are you and your husband making that a priority in this stage that you're in, showing hospitality to others?
Well, one way is to have small group Bible studies uh-huh. or community groups from the church mm-hmm. in our home. Mm-hmm. Which I really love to do, and to celebrate their birthdays mm-hmm. or to do things together, play games, you mm-hmm. know, have a family atmosphere
yeah.
as well as the Bible study. I think that's one way. And then because Norm has traveled for 20 years, he meets people and they come visit us.
And he meets people all over the world.
He does. And yeah. so we get to have lots of guests, and it's been a wonderful experience. And what I love about hospitality is I think you can fit it in no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've lived in 24 different places.
Wow.
Apartments, rental houses, I think 4 houses we've actually bought. We've remodeled 2 houses.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make a home, so to speak, no matter where you are either, because we've traveled in different countries.
Yeah.
I remember one trip to Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
We were in, it wasn't a shack, but it was almost for a week. I'm very grateful for what we had, but we didn't have hot water, and it wasn't exactly home.
Mm-hmm.
But what I realized even that week is you can make a little home wherever you are. That's
yes.
where we were for that week.
Yes.
And it's been that way in different places that we've gone. And we've been shown incredible hospitality in mm-hmm. every country that we've visited, which has helped me learn about it.
Oh, I'm sure. That's probably had
amazing
a big effect on
hospitality.
Your hospitality.
Yeah. Such generosity, such kindness.
Mm-hmm.
We've been very blessed in that way. And I think a lot of that I've been able to bring back,
mm-hmm.
not that I do it as well, but it's inspired me, let
yeah.
me put it that way,
yeah.
to continue to do that.
What's your best hospitality hack for, you know, because you're saying you can do it anywhere, you don't have to have a fancy house or even a big house. If you could give one tip, like what's your best hospitality tip?
I think informality.
Okay.
Making people feel welcome. My house is your house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you aren't always going to have everything that you'd like to do. And it's not about entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, as we see or think of sometimes as hospitality, it's just making people feel welcome,
mm-hmm.
listening to them, mm-hmm. caring for them.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a hack or not.
No,
that's how I see it, because we've been in so many different situations
mm-hmm.
and in different places. And different houses, like I said, 24 mm-hmm. different dwelling places where I've had to learn, I don't have this or I don't have that, but I can still love yeah. people.
Do you have a particular memory of somewhere you went to in a different country? Just kind of an outstanding hospitality memory when you were shown hospitality?
Oh my, yes. We were in South Africa, and these friends of ours, that was actually their ministry
mm-hmm.
and their business was hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed in this gorgeous place that they set us up and brought us breakfast in bed. It was beautiful food. It was a beautiful place. It was beautiful scenery.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so welcoming and so kind that, you know, you just felt like, oh, this is almost close to heaven. This is so sweet and so wonderful. But yes, we've had a number of times like that. We've had other times where it's been a kind of difficult, you know, mm-hmm. to... in a situation, and you learn from all of that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
when you say difficult, do you mean maybe uncomfortable, maybe not
as comfortable.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
you just learn that that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where you are and that's what God's provided mm-hmm. and enjoy.
Yeah.
And love the people you're with.
Yeah.
So we've had both.
Good.
And I won't mention those.
Well, that's cool.
We've Thanks. Had a lot of good experiences.
I'm
yeah.
sure. I'm sure you have. Do you have a scrapbook or anything?
I'm
of
trying
memories?
To. I'm not very good at that. That's something I need to do now. You're right. I need to go back and
no
put
pressure.
The
I'm just curious.
Together. I need to do that.
I don't, because some people are memento gatherers, you know, when they go to different places. I'm kind of like that. I'm the one that picks up all the little brochures and, you know, and I save my little armband from the museum. And
well, Allison, we're like, I do that too, but it's all stuck up somewhere
in a box.
Where I don't
so
know where
mine.
It is.
Yeah, mine's all in a box somewhere. Yeah. One day.
I'll
get to it. Mm-hmm. We will get back to Alma's story in just a few minutes. Right now, it's time for Historical Homemaker Hints. This is the part of the podcast where we highlight some of the helpful and not so helpful hints doled out to homemakers throughout history. Today's hints come from the 1910 publication, Practical Suggestions for Mother and Housewife by Marion Mills Miller. To remove rust stains from an iron, Mrs. Miller suggests scouring the iron with dry salt and beeswax. Curious about this tip, I did a little research, and found that the first electric irons were not invented until the late 1800s, with the first thermostatically controlled electric iron not appearing until the 1920s. So when Mrs. Miller made this suggestion, she was very likely talking about an old-fashioned flat iron, which was basically a triangular hunk of cast iron with a handle. So I would not recommend smearing beeswax and salt on your modern steam iron, but perhaps this would work to remove rust from your cast iron skillet. Regarding dress, Mrs. Miller makes an important point with an unfortunate association. A decent self-respect in dress should always be flavored with a touch of pride, for this is an excellent preservative. Pride in dress is naturally conjoined with the care of the person. Okay, so far so good. Don't be slovenly in your appearance, but here's where it goes south. There is an excellent term for this, which, though borrowed from the stable, carries with it only sweet and wholesome suggestions. It is well-groomed. A well-groomed woman is not only a well-gowned woman, but one who, like a favored mare, is always spick and span in her person and happy in her quiet consciousness of it. And every woman, whether she possesses a maid or not, indeed, whether she has fine gowns or not, may win the admiration of all her associates by her grooming. I don't mind the phrase well-groomed. It's a common phrase. We use it all the time, but I could have done without the reminder that it comes from a stable. Comparing me to a glossy mare does not really inspire me to want to dress better. Maybe that's just me. Having said that, I do agree with her main point, and I'm sure she would be appalled at the typical homemaker uniform of yoga pants and t-shirt, messy bun. Can we just all agree that we could improve in this area and start dressing like we have some self-respect and we take ourselves seriously in this job? I'm not talking about anything fancy. You know, just put on a clean shirt, brush your hair, maybe a little lip gloss. Run that wonderfully modern electric iron over your wrinkled pants or skirt. Just some food for thought. Well, that's it for today's historical homemaker hints. As always, please remember this segment is for entertainment purposes only, and I leave it to you, the listener, to determine the safety and soundness of this advice. Now back to Alma's story. Okay, we're going to talk about seasons in homemaking. We've already alluded to this a little bit. How has your role as a homemaker changed over time?
Right. Well, as I mentioned, the early years, mm-hmm. I developed skills when we were at that church in that town mm-hmm. early on in Florida. And I learned to be flexible because our family was growing. Mm-hmm. And then I'd say in the middle season of raising children, I encouraged the children to develop some skills. One daughter seemed more interested in music and mm-hmm. cooking. Mm-hmm. Another one seemed interested in music, crafts, decorating, you know, finding what their bent was and encouraging them to develop skills. Mm-hmm. Our son learned some home maintenance skills because we remodeled twice.
Oh, yeah.
And that's always a challenge. And he learned to do basic skills before he left home. Because mm-hmm. as he got older, he learned to do his own laundry and some basic cooking, you know.
Yeah.
And then we have Amanda, who is our special needs child. Mm-hmm. And I'm still in process with her. Mm-hmm. But she is learning to be very domestic, and I'm loving it.
Yeah.
You know, she'll even get up and fix oatmeal, and we come downstairs and the oatmeal's fixed. Mm-hmm. Or she's folding my clothes and putting them away. And so it's fun to watch her do some of these things, and she likes doing it.
Yeah.
She feels very important in her role of doing that.
That's great. And Amanda,
during the years, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to clarify, Amanda has Down syndrome.
That's right.
And how old is Amanda?
She will be 38 okay. in June.
Okay. And she mm-hmm. loves to draw.
Yes.
And paint. And
she does do that. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And she loves music. She sits at the piano and I get on the keyboard and we do our duets together. Uh-huh. She has a good ear for music.
That's awesome.
So she picks out tunes, I should say.
Yeah.
And she has a good ear for that. And then she helps around the house. She's been in Special Olympics, and so she was very good
oh,
in
really?
That as well. But as of lately, that's not been happening mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like other things haven't.
So what did she do in Special Olympics?
Just about everything. Yeah. She did basketball. She did tennis. Uh-huh. She did swimming.
Is that and so that's a local program?
It is.
That mm-hmm. they run here in the area?
Yes, okay. She did that for about 10 years and it was great.
Oh, but she hasn't been able to do that since COVID.
No, she hasn't.
Well, hopefully that will pick back
up. We are doing a lot of walks in the park and
yes.
trying to come up with other things.
Well, I love though that she's engaging in the homemaking process with you.
I do too.
And that she finds, you know, purpose in that. That's really great.
I love seeing her enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
So that's been good. We're still in process, though.
Yeah.
She needs supervision still. I was going to say, during the years when our older three left home and they started their own families, then I got busier with hospitality. So that was another season.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and I mentioned to you earlier, Allison, when I showed you the guest book, the first 5 years we were in this house, I counted 500 people had come through. And I couldn't believe it because it didn't seem like it.
Yeah.
It was just a wonderful time.
And she still has this guest book. I just want to mention to the listeners, I got to see it on the little tour before we started. And I think that is a wonderful idea to have.
I wish I'd kept it going.
Yeah. I mean, some people do that. And it's just not anything that has ever occurred to me to keep a little guest book.
I quit doing it. And I wish I still had those names because you forget, you know.
Yeah. That's a wonderful.
People have come through.
Wonderful
also,
idea.
Also during that season, I welcomed 17 grandchildren into my home.
Yeah.
In the last 20 years. And so that changed everything, and I loved that season. Absolutely loved it. It was a wonderful time. Lots of memories were started. We had birthday events here at our house almost monthly because there were so many birthdays. And we did singing. Music was always a big part with each one of them until recently because so many have moved away now. We did what was called our 10-year-old trip with the grandchild, and that was very special. Took lots of pictures of our trip together.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, that was wonderful. Starting with the first grandchild, we just, because Norm travels, we would work out a time when they could go with us and spend anywhere from 3 days to a week. However, you know, it's different for different children. Going to different places where he was traveling. And then we would take the time not only to be with him and what he was doing, because he was usually speaking.
Yeah.
But we would look at the area and see what we could do there in that area, whether it was Prince Edward Island or whether it was California or even one was to Australia one time. And so that was very special with each grandchild.
Oh, yeah.
And we did that until, of course, the children moved to different places now. So it's a little more difficult, but we had a good time with that.
I'm totally going to steal that idea.
Do
I
it.
Love that idea.
Do it. It was great.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll continue to do that if we can figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
But during these last 20 years, I've done a lot of traveling with my husband. So things have changed in as far as seasons go. And now we're entering our senior years, and I don't know what to expect now, but I'm looking forward to whatever it is. I've spent a lot of time in the last few years learning new things. I took a piano pedagogy class online. I took a counseling class online. I've done a number of things that I've been interested in that I didn't have time to do for before.
Well, that's
so
exciting.
That's what I'm, and also Bible study groups. I love that. And just my own, can't learn enough about the Bible. So I spend a lot of time doing that, teaching piano students, times for counseling. So this is a different season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're kind of full circle back to where you were at the beginning when you said you were both leaving the house every day and the housekeeping was minimal and you're kind of back there. You know, there's
That's not
as many people in the house making messes. So the homekeeping aspect is less of a burden on your time. It just doesn't take as much time.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Just like it was at the beginning. I'm glad you mentioned that because it is a full circle around after 50 years.
Yeah.
That's right.
Is that interesting? What was the most difficult transition for you from one season to another? I think you kind of alluded to the homeschooling being very hard for you once you started homeschooling. Was there anything else or any more you wanted to say about that?
That was a hard transition. Those years were harder, and my health was not as good during that time. But I think even these last few years have been quite a transition to make. And But that's because of things that have been happening for everybody right now.
Right. Of course.
Yeah. And just making the transition of more isolation than anybody's used to.
Mm-hmm.
However, I was telling Norm one day, I said, it's not really that much different. I do love being at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find things to do here.
Mm-hmm.
There's things I can learn. But I think the transition is when your family changes.
Right.
You know, your parents have passed away,
mm-hmm.
Or they're getting to that point.
Yeah.
Right now, we're taking care of my mother-in-law, visiting her back and forth frequently. That's a transition to make.
Yeah.
And then your children grow up and your grandchildren grow up.
Yes.
And they move away and things change. And so you learn, okay, this is the next season. And yet what I found, Allison, is God is with me mm-hmm. through it all.
Mm-hmm. He's the constant in all
he
of
is.
That. Yeah.
He
yeah.
is.
So you've talked about how you love to learn new things. We've already touched on a little bit about how you still fulfill your role as a homemaker today. How are you intentionally passing on your knowledge and sharing your experience with other homemakers?
That's a good question. I think it's something I need to really ponder mm-hmm. at this season in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Just how do I go about sharing these things? God has given me a lot. Not that I am very skillful, not that I'm a great homemaker. I'm not that. But just whenever he works in your life in any form of creativity or individuality, your mm-hmm. personality,
yeah,
you have something to share. And I think just doing this has helped me ponder on that more
mm-hmm.
and think about it. Like, what can I do to reach out
yeah.
and share in this way?
Yeah.
So that's where I am right now, just thinking about it.
Well, this is a good first step. This is a good first step. All right. So we're going to do some rapid fire quick answer
okay.
about tasks. You can just give me a one-word answer. You can elaborate if you would like to, but don't feel like you have to elaborate.
Okay.
All right. So on the topic of homemaking tasks, what is one task that you love?
I love getting ready for my husband to come home.
When he's been away mm-hmm. or just for the day? Or
getting the home ready.
Yeah.
And to hear him say, I love to be home.
Oh.
That's what I love.
That's great. Is there anything special you do, like if he's been gone on a trip or whatever?
I think something he really likes to eat after mm-hmm. traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, because we all know how it can be trying to eat right or eat well when you're right. on the road.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, what about one that you hate or dislike?
Hate cleaning the shower.
Oh.
I do.
Yeah.
I do not like it.
Yeah.
So much so that Norm has actually brought in a power washer.
Oh.
Now, wow. That's a real act of love, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
He's actually done that before because he knows I don't like to do that.
Yeah. Well, that can be backbreaking labor, you know, to get in there and scrub.
It's getting harder.
Scrub the walls and then you're afraid you're going to slip. And anyway. Okay. So how about one you grew to love?
I grew to love hospitality.
Mm.
I don't think I started off loving it. It was kind of intimidating
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I didn't really know what to do, but mm-hmm. over the years I grew to love it.
Mm-hmm. What about your worst homemaking fail?
Burning food. I am known as the burn queen.
Oh no.
In fact, a few weeks ago I had two granddaughters here and I got to show them how to burn a whole cookie sheet of cookies. This is my passing on. I said, don't ever do this.
Oh, no. Do you just get sidetracked?
I get distracted
yeah.
so easily. And through the years, I have burned pans. I am so ashamed to tell this, but it's embarrassing, but I do.
Yeah.
I burn food. And yet, I think it is because I get distracted. Mm-hmm. I'm not real good at multitasking. I should be after having children and grandchildren, but that's not my strong suit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do one thing at a time, and I should not leave the kitchen when I'm cooking something.
I think that's good advice pretty much all the way around for everybody. Focus on one thing at a time.
When we were in our married student apartments, And I may have told you this story before. It's a very popular story with my husband and me. But because I was learning how to cook, this was back in the day when shake and bake was popular. You mm-hmm. shake and bake, you put your chicken pieces in this plastic bag and you shake it and then you put it in the oven. I thought, oh, this is great. This is easy to do. And I looked on the box and it said 400 degrees for 1 hour. And I thought, oh, 400 degrees for 1 hour. Well, we want to go to a concert for 4 hours. I'll just put it on 100 degrees. I'll just switch the numbers.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I did. And we went to the concert and we came back and opened the door and our apartment was full of smoke.
Oh, no.
I probably could have burned down the whole apartment building that everybody lived in. The pieces of chicken were charred black. You couldn't even tell what they were. And so that was my first burn experience mm-hmm. that I went through. And I don't know what we did, Allison, because we didn't have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we didn't eat. I can't remember now. Or if we actually went and found something else. But we spent a lot of time just getting the smoke out of the out of this apartment. And so that story I thought I could tell just to encourage all those young women out there that have burned a meal before. I've done it. And I even burned the cookies a couple of weeks ago. So,
and our lesson for that is to not leave cooking food unattended.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for sharing that story. All right. How about a memorable homemaking achievement?
That one's a little bit harder, but probably remodeling two houses.
Mm.
Okay. Just to actually go through the process of, we remodeled a barn-shaped house and made it into a home mm-hmm. to live in.
So this was probably before the barn, because a barn dominium is a thing now.
Mm.
But this, I'm imagining this was a while ago.
This was a while ago.
Yeah.
About 20 some years ago.
Okay.
And my husband loves to remodel. I think it's therapy for him. Mm-hmm. He likes to use his hands. And so we did that together. And mm-hmm. that was quite an achievement to get that done. And then this house that we live in now, we've been in this house for 20 years, the longest we've ever been in any house,
mm-hmm.
Is here. And we remodeled this house.
And this house used to be, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, it was a hotel?
Well, the man that built this house built hotels. And so he kind of practiced on this house.
Yeah.
And we found a lot of interesting things in here when we bought it. It was a good deal when we bought it.
And when I say hotel, let me clarify. It's like a Old West style sort of.
Yes.
What would you call that? I mean, like a, like you would see in an Old West movie, like the hotel down on Main Street.
In fact, I didn't know what to call it when we bought it. But Norm is very visionary and he could see what we could do with it or what he could do with it. Yeah. And so it has been completely redone. Mm-hmm. It was 4 months before we moved in. And then even after that, it's been remodeled over and over again mm-hmm. in different areas of the house.
Yeah.
And he enjoys doing that. And so I have been through that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a neat house. It's got a lot of charm. And I love your big long front porch on the.
Yes. And then you've got one on the top. There wasn't even a front door there, Allison. That wasn't even a porch or a front door. So
oh, really?
That was something I wanted. And I was glad they put that in.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
So that's been a challenge. Yes.
All right. We're going to go into the last section. About the art of home. So that's the title of this podcast. And we like to keep reminding homemakers that what you're doing is practicing an art. And that's exactly what it is. It's a practice. It's not something that we just know how to do naturally. We have to practice and apply our own unique spin to it. So how do you feel like homemaking is an art?
Well, I think there's just opportunities that abound in your own unique personality mm-hmm. to make a home. If you just become creative, and I'm not an extremely creative person, that's not my bent, but you can do what you can do. I think I've said that before mm-hmm. with what you have. And so many times through the years, we were on a very low budget, very low. Mm-hmm. When Norm was in seminary and for a number of years, and just being in ministry and school teaching aren't real high-paying jobs.
Right.
And so it's taking what you have or finding mm-hmm. things and redoing them mm-hmm. and doing what you can with what you have. I think there's a lot that can be done with almost nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, some people have a great flair. And like I said, my grandmother was an amazing decorator. And even during that time, she was up to date with everything. It was mm-hmm. beautiful and fun to look at. So there's extremes in the art of doing this from someone like me mm-hmm. that doesn't have really a creative bent. And mm-hmm. yet I know there's creativity in there because I was made by God. Mm-hmm. And I am His creation, and there's creativity there. But it's not going to look like somebody else's.
Yeah.
And so the art, too, of just keeping a home, for me, is keeping it orderly, simple, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Comfortable.
Yeah.
That's more important, I think, to both my husband and to me mm-hmm. than even the other, although I love the beauty. I love the color and all of that too.
Yes. And I got to see that in your lovely master bedroom that you showed me before we started. Well, we will actually have some pictures of that on the website, but I was going to ask you, you know, if whether or not your decorating grandmother kind of rubbed off on you, because, you know, you obviously love doing that. And I've seen that up in your room and around your home and lots of found objects that you've transformed with just paint.
Yeah.
And some rope and, you know,
it's a whole pieces of furniture.
Yeah. It's a whole new thing.
And making it new. Mm-hmm. That is fun when you have time.
Yes.
And the money to do it.
Yeah.
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 And I enjoy that.
But it can be done economically, like you were saying.
I think it can. Yes, it can.
For sure. For sure. So we talked about the physical beauty of the home in the decorating and in the environment that we make physically, but how can we find beauty in the midst of the work that we do? Because it can be drudgery. It can be so mundane and it's just the same thing over and over again. And how can we find beauty and purpose in that?
I think this is really a different way of looking at it, but mm-hmm. I think serving is beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's a characteristic of God, and Jesus showed us that He came to be a servant. And yeah. I think just being a servant to those that come into your home, loving your family, loving friends and people that come mm-hmm. is beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's a different way, I know, of looking at it. But I think there's also ways of just, instead of a mundane home, finding ways. I like pictures that remind me of friends that gave me that picture mm-hmm. or that object. And I look at it and I think of them. Mm-hmm. To me, it's more about people and relationships. And so making my home that way with objects and pictures that remind me of people
yeah.
is beautiful.
Service is not something that we typically gravitate towards and
no,
say
it's, not.
It's a beautiful thing to be a servant
no.
Of someone.
It's something I think you have to cultivate and learn that it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's like the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so I've had to learn that because sometimes it is mundane and it gets, you know, the chores of a house can get really old. It's just like the fact that I don't like to clean the shower. Mm-hmm. But if I try to get my perspective right, mm-hmm. things aren't near as mundane. I'm right. doing this not just for me.
Exactly.
I'm doing it as unto the Lord and for other people. Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't seem as mundane. Now, if I get really into these chores that are mundane, I put on a podcast or, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
you know, or listen to music.
Yeah.
You know, and just get my mind elsewhere.
Exactly.
And that helps.
It does help a lot. I do that as well. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of get your mind off of it. And because somebody's got to do the dishes.
Yeah. And it's just not always
I mean,
great.
We do, you know, let me just say, we have trained our children to serve alongside us, you know, to also go and send them out to be servants to their own families and the people in their lives. So it's not like we were the servants and everybody else sat around with their feet up. That's yeah. not what we're saying.
No, not at all.
But their joy can be found in just kind of, you know, laying aside your own wants and needs for the desires and the needs of somebody else. There's great beauty in that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Christ modeled for us. Mm-hmm. So how would you say that homemakers cultivate a sense of place and belonging in their homes for people? The people who live here and then the people who just walk in the door as a visitor.
I kind of mentioned it. I think people do it differently. For me, it's surrounding myself with objects and pictures and so on, mm-hmm. that there's a sense of, this is my family. This is my personality. I yeah. want you to belong here too.
Yeah.
I want you to feel comfortable here. You know, just making a relaxed and informal setting, mm-hmm. I think is important. Mm-hmm. And however you can do that, with the grandchildren, if they bring me a rock, I keep those rocks and mm-hmm. put them in a special place. Mm-hmm. If they bring me pictures, I have a bulletin board or my refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And then it's they belong here.
Yeah.
You know, and I keep those things for a long time. And then after a while, I put them in a file.
Yeah.
yeah. Because there's a lot of that can come in when you have that many grandchildren. But I think that helps with a sense of belonging. Whatever mm-hmm. they bring me.
Yeah.
And want me to see, then I keep it. It's special.
And then when they visit and they see it.
They see it. They feel like they belong here.
Yeah, they're a part of this family.
So keeping their treasures around, at least for a while, mm-hmm. to let them know. And when our children were growing up, I thought it was important for them to decorate their own rooms.
I was just going to ask you that. yeah, that was my next question.
Let mm-hmm. them have their room and do it according to their way and their personality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really important, I think, to do that. My son, my middle son, unfortunately, because of COVID in 2020, never got to go back. It was his freshman year mm-hmm. of college, and he came home for spring break and never got to go back. So at one point he went up and got all his stuff out of the dorm and he brought it back home, and he was, of course took up residence in the extra room, the guest room that had been his room. And I had sort of transformed it into like a nicer space. But then I went up there one day and he said, "Mom, come see," and he had put all of his, it looked like a dorm room. He had hung up his flags,
and
all of his stuff, but he felt at home in
That's
that
right.
space. And that was really important for him to be able to do that.
Yeah. I think too, when you have guests in the home, and I've learned this just by being a guest in so many people's homes,
yeah.
is to try to think of those little things that make them feel at home, mm-hmm. whether it's providing snacks or mm-hmm. a drink or water or special little gifts or, just different things that make them feel like, "I'm glad you're here."
Exactly.
Like, because I know that's how I felt when I've gone places is, "Oh, this was a special caring thing to do," mm-hmm. and just, figuring out what would be special to this person mm-hmm. while they're a guest here.
Yeah, that's great. Find out what their favorite tea is or
yes,
what kind of coffee
kind of
they'd
thing.
Like to take.
Yeah.
Yeah, those little things really make a big difference.
They do.
And it doesn't have to cost a lot of money or any money, really, just to be prepared and think ahead. Mm-hmm. That's a great suggestion. So we know that our homemaking is valuable to our family, our individual family, but it's also valuable to communities, to society as a whole. How do you feel like it's valuable to not just your family, but to society?
I don't think our world's a real safe place. And I think a home can be a safe place. Mm-hmm. We can make it that way. It can be peaceful and restful mm-hmm. and enjoyable, a place to come back to. And I think, a lot of that has to do with just how you take care of the home. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be anything special, but people want to be there. Mm-hmm. They feel safe. They feel like they belong there.
Yeah.
And, I learned that early on with this group of women in my 20s, that I would go into their homes and I just love being here. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to describe exactly what that was. It was just peaceful, and it felt safe to go and sit in their kitchen or their living room mm-hmm. and have tea or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I think that in our society, it's, especially now,
yeah.
it's really an important, a valuable thing to have a home. It's a good place to go to. Mm-hmm.
Kind of helps center you. Mm-hmm. It's a place to sort
yes.
of anchor.
Yes.
And then be refreshed and then go back out mm-hmm. into the world.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed hearing your story.
I've enjoyed it.
Thank you for being brave and for agreeing to come on.
I want to hear your story now.
Oh, that's on the list of things to do. I had somebody else say that to me, that they think it would be adorable if my husband would interview me. So,
I would like that.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm thinking about maybe for our 1 year anniversary.
Good.
Of the show, when the show is 1 year old, which will be next March of 2022.
I look forward to that.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for spending some time with us today. We hope that this conversation with Alma has encouraged you to practice the art of home with originality. You have a story to tell through your homemaking, and it's marked by your unique God-given personality, style, and creativity. So don't get bogged down or discouraged by comparison. Focus on practicing your art with what you have to work with. As always, links for the resources mentioned in this episode are available in the show notes and on our website, theartofhomepodcast.com, where you can also get a peek into Alma's home by clicking on the blog post for this episode. This is season 2, episode 2, Original Homemaking with Alma Wakefield. We are all over the interweb, so come and say hi. Over on Facebook and Instagram, look us up under The Art of Home Podcast. And of course, on our website, you can access all previous episodes, resources, recipes, poems, anything else our guests have shared with us. We're attempting to build a learning and sharing community of homemakers over there. So make sure you are subscribed to the email list so that you don't miss anything. We're not going to spam you or send you unnecessary email. We just want to keep in touch and let you know when new things are happening and make sure we're getting the resources into your hands that are going to help you in your homemaking journey. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to leave us a review wherever you're listening. Share with a homemaker you know who needs some encouragement. Send us an email with any questions or comments that you have. We would love to hear from you. contact@theartofhomepodcast.com. Until next time, keep uniquely practicing your art of making a home.